This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We're rocking and rolling here on a Wednesday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. This is VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, welcoming in our DraftKings Network audience as well. He's Michael Lombardi. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. Plenty to get to over the course of the next hour. Coming up in about 15 minutes, VSiN's own Adam Burke will join us, get into some college hoops conference tournament discussion. And in a half an hour, Harry Gagnon, host of the Against All Odds podcast, former Vegas Sportsbook supervisor, is going to stop by. He's got plays in college hoops, in the NBA, the Arnold Palmer Invitational, UFC 299. So just get ready for a whirlwind. But we're going to start out back in the NFL, Michael, with what's on Michael's mind. It is lying season, right?
Absolutely. This is where we all are. I mean, you cannot go to Twitter and not see, you know, we just got to Twitter and there's a report out there from one of the aggregates. Five teams are going to be after Saquon Barkley, the Eagles. Now, we know this about the Eagles. They rarely pay for a running back. And if Barkley's going to get $14 million, it would shock me that Philadelphia, which has historically never wanted to pay for a running back under Jeffrey Lurie's administration, could I see him drafting one? Sure. But pay $14 million a year to a running back seems a little odd, especially a guy that, you know, that would tie up some serious cash. But five teams are after Barkley. I've been in the league almost 40 years. Five teams are never after one player. There's two teams. You hope there are. And in the case of Barkley, the Giants have said they have a tolerance for how far they're going to go by not franchising them. So maybe they're in it, maybe they're not. But usually what you need is the home team in it, and then there's another team, and there's another team on the periphery. Because once it gets too expensive, it's like speed dating. You got to drop that girl and go to somebody else.
And so Leonard listed the Eagles, as well as the Ravens, Raiders, Bears, Patriots, and the Houston Texans. The Texans are an odds-on favorite right now to be the place that Saquon Barkley takes his next snap. Do you feel like that could be the landing spot?
I could see the Texans. I mean, look, I think they got to take some of the pressure. They got cap room. They got to take some of the pressure off. They feel like they're close. I think there's no question that he would, you know, I mean, we thought Damian Harris would be the best player at running back for them last year, and he averaged under 3 yards a carry. And it was Singletary that really made them, Devin Singletary, that made them a more effective run game. But they need some balance in their attack. They do. They need to be able to run that outside zone as what they want to do with Bobby Slovic and handle that. And so I think he would make sense, but it seems, again, you know, all of a sudden we're hearing that teams are going to pay $14, $15 million for a back. Are we really going to see that? I don't know. Now, he's a good player, don't get me wrong, but it's going to take a philosophy to do it.
You're six in the league, but there is still a lot of tread on those tires. He's had some injuries. You feel for him, having played for the bulk of his career behind the worst, if not like one of the worst, offensive lines in football during that time. The Texans, like I said, odds on favorite to land him. A number of teams you think he could fit for, but actually in contention, like you said, the reality of it is probably just one or two at that price. Let's talk through a few other lies over the last month or so and revisit the actuality of those circumstances. You referenced, when we were talking to Jordan Schultz moments ago, the Adam Schefter comment in February that Justin Fields will definitely be at least worth a second, perhaps even a first. What's the reality of that situation? What is Justin Fields' actual value on the market right now?
Well, like I said to Jordan Schultz, tell me where. They said what we had when we had Albert Breer on yesterday. Albert Breer said that they're looking for a deal similar to what Sam Darnold got, similar to what Alex Smith got, which is not a first-round pick. They've lowered their expectations. And I usually, you know, usually you think if somebody's willing to pay, they're come to the table. And I don't think anybody's come to the table yet. I think he'll have a market, but because he has 1 year left on a contract, because you're uncertain of the fifth year, because you can't sit there and say with all sincerity, he's your starter. I know the media has a perception of him, but the league, people that watch tape in the league that evaluate it, is completely different. Sometimes there's this huge disconnect. We see it all the time. I mean, look, you know, you just said yesterday that Trey Lance could be the starter in Minneapolis. That's what people think if you know. And here's a guy who's never started really many games before.
For people that didn't join us yesterday,
you were saying,
okay,
it,
I was going to say, That's all I was going to clear up, Michael. For people that did not join us yesterday, this is not my idea. I do not think that that is any world with which we are living in. And please, dear God, let's accept the reality of what Trey Lance is. But that was on the top five rumors that Rich Eisen had heard during Combine Week. And that's why they are rumors. But let's stick with quarterbacks, because the majority of the lies right now are around those big players that we're all talking about all the time. And Phil Perry, Patriots reporter from NBC Sports Boston, wrote in his Combine recap that it was his understanding that there are people in Jaden Daniels' camp who prefer that Daniels does not end up in the Northeast, that there are questions among NFL coaches as to how Daniels, who's from California, played at Arizona State before LSU, would adapt to the playing conditions of a place like New England.
I mean, where does this come from? Like, where does this come from? If you're the third pick in the draft, don't you? I mean, like, when did it become a hard place to play? Look, I promise you, don't you think that Jaden Daniels is really, really a fan of Tom Brady's? I mean, you got to think he is. Tom Brady grew up in Northern California. He didn't have a problem playing in New England.
Yep.
I mean, you play wherever you have to play.
Aaron Rodgers grew up in California. He played in Green Bay the bulk of his career.
These are funny stories. Yeah. I mean, this to me, this is just clicks. Again, it's just trying to get clicks. Like, why wouldn't he want to play? Now, look, that survey that came out about the Patriots and all the things that they were complaining about. Look, I worked there. I could see a lot of those things being true. I could see there was no family room. There's a lot of those things. You know, there's no windows in the building. It's very sterile, not a great facility. I get all that. But they've won a lot of games, you know? And so when you know, all of a sudden, you act like the Patriots haven't won and the Raiders have, and it's completely reverse.
Jaden Daniels is the favorite on the odds board right now to be the third overall pick. The Patriots obviously holding that number three selection right now, plus 145 the price. Another rumor. So we talked yesterday about the report from Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk about how he had good reason to believe from his sources that Kirk Cousins was looking to move his family to Atlanta. On the Pat McAfee show yesterday, kind of doubled down discussing that thought process and said that he has reason to believe Kirk Cousins has been talking to the guy who currently wears number 8 in Atlanta, Kyle Pitts. Florio did say, I do want to make sure that I give him the out here, that he said he hadn't confirmed this yet, but it was one of those things that makes sense. Well, Kyle Pitts responded with a bunch of cry face emojis and said, this is actually funny. You guys come up with anything.
I love it. I love that Kyle Pitts did that. I love that. He just moved up a notch in my book. Like, seriously, like, you know, first of all, you know, could I see when free agency starts that Pitts could be texting Cousins? Yeah, I could. But, you know, like this exchange of numbers, that means there's a deal done. I just don't see that. I think to me, we're just making, you know, we're again, it's click related. We're trying to get more clicks and they're trying to. And the agents are really good. Priority Sports, which represents Cousins, is a very good agency. Mark Bartlestein has a ton of basketball players. Mike McCarthy does football with Rick Smith. They're really good. They've made Cousins a ton of money. They've made him a ton of money. And they're very good at manipulating the marketplace, right? That's their job, is to spread stuff out there. That's their job, is to create a second market. Atlanta, they're in it. And you as an executive have to say, wait a minute, hold on. And sometimes they put stuff out, like when Schefter put out he's going to get a first-round pick for Fields. I'm sure he believed it at the time, but now that he's checked on it, he's backed off of it.
Yep. Also, another thing, because I went back and I watched this segment from Florio on McAfee yesterday, and something I did not know, which I did find interesting, was he was kind of connecting the dots between Kirk's wife, Julie, and that she grew up in Alpharetta, Georgia, which is about a half an hour outside of Atlanta, and her parents still live there. So that was an interesting connection. Although I don't know about you, Michael. I know you mentioned a similar thought yesterday. It just feels like Minnesota is where he's going to land to me. Atlanta, sure, it makes a lot of sense for a lot of reasons. I think he would be a great addition to that offense, but he loves Minnesota and he loves being a part of that team. At least from what I saw watching the Netflix documentary that followed him around for an entire season, despite his injury, he really wanted to be there. And I know Kevin O'Connell and company would like to make that work.
Why do you think all these stories are coming out now? Because the word came out that Minnesota doesn't want to guarantee the third year. So all these stories are being generated to help to create Minnesota to have the anxiousness to to guarantee the third year. Look, if it's close between Minnesota and Atlanta, he's going to stay in Minnesota. He knows the coach. He's comfortable. You know, I mean, players typically don't like change. Most human beings don't like change. Now, if the money's great, you've got to change. Sometimes you're forced to change. The team doesn't want you back. You got to go. But to me, we just are making so much out of this. And a lot of it, that's why we have lying season. A lot of this is just, you know, Mike Tomlin loves Justin Fields. They already said, look, we're not going to be involved in Fields, Cousin, any of those guys, right? We're signing a guy to we want to sign Mason Rudolph. I think it's just comical. And if you don't look past it and you don't look at the whole element of it, you know, will the Eagles sign Saquon Barkley? Well, if you study Jeffrey Lurie and you study how the Eagles operate, they don't like to pay for running backs. If Barkley were under $10 million, I could see it maybe, you know, but if he's going to get 14 or 15 per year, that doesn't fit the Eagles' profile. And everything comes back to your profile. Now, there's exceptions. Could they do it? You never say never in the NFL, but for the most part, the Eagles are going to shop for defensive linemen and offense, and they're going to fix their line. And I'm sure they'll wait till the market declares on running backs and get a good deal on one.
And that is the smart financial thing to do from that standpoint. To go back to Cousins, the Falcons, with all of this news and discussion around him going to Atlanta, minus 225, the favorite now to land Cousins. The Vikings available at a plus 150 price, so plus money if you think he ultimately returns to Minnesota. We are going to hit the break here when we come back. VSiN's own Adam Burke is going to join us, get into a little college hoops because conference tournaments in some cases have already begun, but a couple valuable options to dive into when we come back on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Baseball is back, and what better way to hit off the grapefruit and cactus leagues than with VSiN's free MLB betting primer. This primer will tell you how to bet on spring training and continue all season long with our VSiN Experts World Series futures analysis. Our free MLB betting primer has basic baseball betting advice for anybody new to betting MLB, plus a breakdown on how to use sabermetrics for our more data-driven experienced bettors. Make this your best season yet. Download the free MLB betting primer now, vsin.com/guide. That's vsin.com/guide. And again, it is for free. A lot of hard work put into that betting primer, as well as the spring training betting guide by our own Adam Burke, VSiN managing editor. You can catch all of his write-ups at vsin.com. Joins us every week here on the Lombardi Line. And Adam, in addition to everything that you do cover in baseball, you have been all in on college hoops this year. You've been breaking down conference tournament previews for all the tournaments. And we've already had March Madness begin with buzzer beaters and upsets in the A-Sun. So we are off to a great start here.
Yeah, I am not off to a great start in conference tournament time here so far. But yeah, you know, a little taste of March Madness with what happened in the A-Sun. Both the number one and number three seeds out in that conference tournament. So just an example of how crazy the month of March can be.
All right, so let's start out with a conference tourney because I see my alma mater up there. You like Hofstra today to win the CAA tournament. Tell me why.
Yeah, I like Hofstra. I think something that's really important to take a look at here in these conference tournaments is you want to see what the path is to get to the finals. And for Hofstra, they would avoid both UNC Wilmington and Charleston en route to the championship game. They'd wind up playing Drexel in all likelihood in the semifinals. They did split with Drexel, or at least lose the most recent game to them during the regular season. But Hofstra's a team that's really, really good offensively. They've got two dynamic scorers. They take a lot of really smart shots. Typically, I tend to shy away from jump shooting teams in a neutral site environment like what we have here in the CAA conference tournament. But I think Hofstra is just playing at a really high level right now. And I think one of Charleston and UNC Wilmington getting knocked out does help their case in a potential championship game. And also, I mean, that semifinal game, if it is Charleston and Wilmington, could be a knockdown, drag out type of fight between those two teams where it's tough to come back the next day and play against Hofstra. So I think Hofstra in that 3-1 plus 275 range is a good look in the CAA.
All right, Michael, an added reason to cheer on your alma mater here. Great stuff. I know a conference that's near and dear to your heart, Adam, the Ohio Valley. Who do you have winning it all?
I don't know if I'd say it's near and dear to my heart because this conference has really changed a lot over the last few years. Teams like Belmont and Murray State used to be in this conference. They are not now. So this conference is quite a bit watered down here. But what's really interesting about this one is that Morehead State, who's been the number one team throughout the course of the season here from a ranking standpoint, they are actually the number three seed. And this is one of those conference tournaments where the number one and number two get automatic buys straight to the semifinals. So Morehead State is the best team, but they will have to play three games in 3 days, whereas Little Rock and UT Martin, the top two seeds, will just have to play a couple of games in a couple of days to win this conference tournament. I actually like UT Martin in this one. I think UT Martin is a really interesting team. Once again, they're led by two dynamic scorers, and they've got some good secondary scoring as well, which I think is really important in these conference tournaments in these neutral settings. If one guy is not shooting, somebody else has to pick up the slack. UT Martin has the balance to do that. But I will say this, UT Martin is about plus 380 out there in the futures market to win this conference tournament. I assume they play Morehead State, and I assume they'll be about a 6.5-7 point underdog in that game, probably a 1 point underdog to Little Rock if that's who they meet in the title game. So this is one where I would start with a money line bet on UT Martin against Morehead State, roll over that bet, the winnings plus your bet amount, into the next game. I think a money line rollover gives you a much better return on your investment than just taking the straight futures price here.
UNC Greensboro is 21-10. They're second in the conference. You know, they're really good offensively, third in the conference offense, third in the conference on defense. And you think they can win the Southern Conference and upset Samford?
Yeah, I think the SoCon, again, really interesting conference tournament. All these teams are really good on offense. Not many of them are very good on defense. Samford has been the top team throughout the course of the regular season here. They've been really, really good. They've only lost three games here so far this season. But I do think that they are a little bit vulnerable here in this conference tournament. I like UNC Greensboro. They're a team that, you know, is typically pretty battle-tested. They've been pretty good in this tournament in the past. And I just feel like their draw is a little bit more favorable too, where Samford, we're going to have some tougher games, I think, in their path to winning the tournament, as opposed to UNC Greensboro, where I don't think Chattanooga's really that strong of a number three seed. So I like UNC Greensboro. I think the price is pretty good up there in the 4-4.5 to 1 range. I don't think the gap between Samford and UNC Greensboro is as big as the market is suggesting with the odds for the SoCon tournament.
The SoCon was one of those leagues that I cut my teeth in early in my career, working those tournaments for the men's and women's events. 16 games, 5 days, super fun. Big fan of everything that they do out there in the Southern Conference. Here with Adam Burke, VSiN managing editor, talking a little college hoops. Tonight, we have 36 games on the slate, and I was shocked to see you have a Big 12 matchup here that interested you for one of your best bets. What you got?
Yeah, you know, a lot of times I look at the small conferences. I think there's a lot more value in those. I think there's some mispricings. I think the stats kind of tell a little bit more of a story in those conferences. But in looking at the slate for tonight, I do like a Big 12 game, as you mentioned. I do like TCU laying a road number here against West Virginia. This one's grown a little bit. It was 4.5 when I started the write-up. It was 5.5 when I closed the write-up. I still think that that's okay. TCU is a team that forces a lot of turnovers. They forced 19 in the first meeting against the Mountaineers. They're a much better offensive team. They get to the rim at a much higher rate. And also for TCU, I mean, they've struggled a little bit here of late. They just lost a couple of games to top 20 caliber teams in Baylor and BYU. This is a big time step down in class to face West Virginia. I do think Jamie Dixon's team has the arrow pointing north here in this type of game. I get it. You know, taking road teams in the Big 12 is a little bit scary, but I think this is one where TCU is just clearly the better team and probably the more motivated and engaged team at this time of the year.
And so how about Tennessee State, Southern Indiana? Southern Indiana hasn't played very well. They're on a three-game losing streak. And what are they? They're 8-23. Kempom has them favored by 4 in this game, has them as getting 4 points in this game. You like the 3.5 here.
Yeah, I like Tennessee State. First round of the Ohio Valley Conference. These games are played in Evansville, Indiana. So I guess in theory, Southern Indiana, a little bit of a home court advantage, but this is just a bad basketball team. I actually laid 7 with them in their regular season finale against Southeast Missouri State because SEMO State was missing some guys. They had not been playing all that well. Southern Indiana lost the game outright. They also lost outright to Lindenwood, another really, really bad team late in the regular season here. Tennessee State, to me, is just a team. They force more turnovers. They take better shots. They're a smarter offensive team. I think they're a better coach team as well. And again, Southern Indiana coming into this conference tournament in really, really bad form. Now you're talking about a game that really means something. I don't think they can flip the switch. I like Tennessee State laying 3.5 here in the OVC.
The NEC beginning their tournament today as well. What game are you targeting from that standpoint?
Yeah, so I'm looking at Long Island and Merrimack in this one. And the reason why I like Merrimack, so they're actually joining the MAAC, the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference, next season. I think walking out the door, they'd love to win this NEC tournament. They are at home here against Long Island. And the big thing for me in this game is this is the first NEC tournament game where Merrimack knows they have a chance to go to the NCAA tournament. They were stuck in the archaic transition rules period of NCAA, so they weren't eligible for the NCAA tournament, and in fact, weren't even eligible for the conference tournament for the first couple of years that they were in this league. I think they hit the ground running in this game. They're a very, very good offensive team. Long Island is one of the worst teams in the country and has been all season long. But that being said, Merrimack's a 15-point favorite. Will they have that energy throughout the whole game? I don't know. So I like them in the first half, -8.5, where I think they'll try to build a big lead. I don't know if they'll be able to sustain it and cover the full game number, but I think they'll come out guns blazing in this game. So I like the Merrimack Warriors laying 8.5 in the first half today.
Adam, we had Chris Felica on the Bear yesterday, and he was kind of putting some money, some pizza money on Gonzaga to get to the Final Four. Would you do that?
Well, they're playing well at the right time. And I think it was kind of interesting. Mark Few, you know, in his post-game media availability after beating St. Mary's on the road, you know, made it a point to say that Randy Bennett came up to him after the game and said, hey, you guys are a lot better. And for a coach like Randy Bennett, who's been, you know, a stalwart there in that West Coast Conference with that St. Mary's program, for him to make that comment and for Mark Few to then further acknowledge that comment by talking about it, I think it's a good sign of where this Gonzaga program is. We know they have a lot of talent. We know Mark Few is a really good head coach. And also Gonzaga is in a position this season where maybe they don't get as screwed over by the selection committee. They're not a number one seed. They're not a team that the selection committee maybe wants out in favor of a, you know, major conference opponent, something like that. I think Gonzaga may end up with a little bit more favorable of a draw here in this year's tournament to where I could definitely see them going on a run.
16-1 odds to make the Final Four here. One last thing, last 30 seconds, Adam, like you mentioned the money line rollover concept. Is that an angle you really try to target in some of these conference tournaments or the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, especially with the bracket style format, because you can kind of project out who these teams are going to play, what those spreads are going to be. Obviously, the ranking sites are out there. You can look at past games and sort of see where that number should be. The moneyline rollover is typically going to be a much better investment for you. And also the nice thing about that, to hedge, you just stop betting. So that's what I really like about moneyline rollovers.
Great advice. Really appreciate your time today, Adam. We'll see you next week.
Great job, Adam.
Absolutely. Have a good one.
Thanks, Adam.
Adam Burke at Skating Tripods on X. And again, check out all of his written work. A lot of those conference tournament breakdowns available right now at VSiN.com. When we come back, Harry Gagnon joins us. We had a crazy finish in the NBA last night with the Celtics pulling a Clippers. I'll tell you what I mean and more when we come back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome back to the Lombardi Line. Michael Lombardi and Stormy Bonatoni with you. Remember, you can put our VSiN experts to work for you each and every day. If you have a VSiN Pro subscription, sign up on a VSiN Pro annual subscription today. That'll get you your first full year for only $199 instead of our usual $240 price. But you have to use our promo code Lombardi. That's VSiN Pro access to everything we do for the whole year. Includes our daily best bets with the leaderboard to see which VSiN expert has the hot hand any given day. Betting splits to show you where the money and bets are moving for each game. Betting systems, premium analysis, 24/7 video access. Plus, we've got an upcoming March Madness betting guide with best bets for every game and round of the tournament. Selection Sunday right around the corner. But again, you need to use that promo code Lombardi to make it happen. $199 VSiN.com/subscribe is how you can do it. Now joining us live on the program, great friend of the show in his usual spot, Harry Gagnon, host of the Against All Odds podcast, joining us now, former Vegas sportsbook supervisor. And let's start in the NBA here, Harry, because you have a plethora of bets of sports to cover. And in the association last night, a very interesting finish with the Boston Celtics, who I joked before the break pulled a Clippers because they gave up a 22-point lead in the fourth quarter to the Cavs. That ended what was a league best 11-game win streak for them. What did you take away from that Celtics finish? Was it more of a collapse by them or a great comeback from Cleveland?
Hey, guys. Yeah, you know what, Stormy? More of a collapse, I think, by Boston. But, you know, they're coming off beating the Warriors by 52. They put up like 140 on that Friday night against Dallas. It's just that, I guess that's typical NBA stuff, right? Just, you know, Boston maybe looking ahead a little bit. And listen, Cleveland's no slouch. I mean, that was a heck of a comeback. Bickerstaff is one heck of a coach. He's raised the level of play for this Cavaliers team over the past couple of years, being head coach there, and increased their win percentage and their win number of wins year after year. He's been there like 4 years now. Every year he's raised their game. Cleveland's a force in the East, so great job by them. But I think it was more of a collapse in Boston, just looking ahead maybe. Stuff like that happens every once in a while. I mean, I know at one point I saw that in the fourth, the Cavaliers were plus 4,000 on the money line at one point. So that was pretty wild. But I think just more of a collapse for Boston, but no big deal. Big, nice win for Cleveland, winning against the Celtics, but at home. But they're kind of supposed to in a spot like that. They needed a game like that, and they're going to be a force in the playoffs. So it's going to be a lot of fun to see as the playoffs come up close as we head into like the last fifth of the season.
You, Harry, do you think are you betting them on a future number?
The Cavs?
Yeah. No, I'm talking about I'm talking about the Celtics. They seem like they're the best Celtics, team in the league. I mean, they're dominating, they're playing well.
There's something else. I mean, look, you look at their games, how they've just exploded. They're first in almost everything statistically, especially in the Eastern Conference. I think that, yeah, I'm saying minus 110 now to win the Eastern Conference. That's something else. Bucks almost 3-1. Interesting. They turned it around a little bit too with Doc Rivers. It got off to a bad start, but now the Bucks look like they're playing well. Knicks got injuries. They're beat up a little bit. The Heat have been coming out a bit lately. The Heat always are sleepers. I know, you know, you look at the Heat and you look at, they may not have it. You know, Jimmy Butler's maybe a little bit down slope of his career, but they've made a couple moves lately, and the Heat always sleepers like they were last year as the AC. So interesting to look at, but still overall, when you've got Tatum and Brown as your 1-2, it's going to be hard to take down the Celtics, especially in the Eastern Conference.
Yep. Celtics odds on minus 110 right now. You mentioned that game being a potential look ahead. They've got a potential NBA Finals preview with the Denver Nuggets coming up on Thursday. But let's look to tonight, because you do have a bet in this Kings-Lakers game. By the way, Harry made some people some money last week when you said that LeBron would reach the 40,000 mark against that Denver Nuggets team. So kudos to you. He cashed it early in that game. But what are you looking at tonight in L.A.?
How about a player prop, guys? I'm going to take Domantas Sabonis over 33.5 points and rebounds combined versus the Lakers at minus 120. Look, Sabonis has been a double-double machine all season for the Kings. Sabonis on Monday versus Chicago at 18 points and 21 rebounds. And he combines the 36 March 1st in Minnesota versus the T-Wolves. Lakers give up the third most points in the Western Conference. And in Sacramento's last trip to L.A., Sabonis had 29 points, 16 rebounds. If I'm doing my math right, I think that adds up to 45. So give me Sabonis over 33.5 points and rebounds combined versus LeBron and the Lakers tonight, guys.
So you got that going. I mean, you're just spanning the globe on what you're going to bet on tonight. Well, so let's go to college hoops,
Michael,
right?
But speaking of spanning the globe, real quick, just want to see, you know, 13 days until Bruce opens up in Phoenix, and I'll be there. But I don't think in 16 days you have any excuse not to be in Vegas during the NCAA tournament. Stormy's got no excuse. 16 days, Bruce is playing Vegas for the first time in 10 years. You're going to be there?
I am not going to be there. I can't get there, but I do have a better in than I've ever had with Bruce seminar that I went to and spent 4 days. Bruce is doctor. Who's going to tour with him was at the conference. So needless to say, I sat next to him every day and we talked. I'm not going to climb Mount Everest with him, but I'm going to try to stand next to him as he's on the stage as Bruce's doctor. So yeah, I eventually plan on getting there. Yeah. I just can't get there in March. It's too.
Okay.
But anyway, let's talk Marquette and UConn. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, the last time they played, it was 81-53. UConn was dynamic, right? So now they've got to go into Milwaukee and face a hostile crowd there as, you know, I think, you know, this is Marquette, who's played really well, got a chance. Mm-hmm. You like laying the points here.
Well, you know what I like? I like the under. I like the under 151.5 in this game. Look, guys, Marquette is still without their standout guard, Tyler Kolek, who averages 15 points a game and 8 assists. He's going to be out for the rest of the regular season. They're hoping to get him back come Big East tourney time. First matchup you mentioned, Mike, 3 weeks ago, landed on just 134 points, and UConn has a smothering defense. 12 of the last 13 games, the Huskies have not allowed 70 points or more by their opponents. I'm going to go under 151.5 in this one.
The South Carolina Gamecocks beat the Vols in Knoxville back in January, yet are a pretty significant dog at home today, likely having something to do with that 5-game win streak and an SEC regular season title on the line for Tennessee. What are you looking at in this one in the SEC?
Yeah, I'm looking at South Carolina, Stormy, a very underrated team, but I'm going with another under. I'm going under 139.5 in this one. I like that. I know it's up to around 140, 141. I got 139.5 last night, but I do like the under still. First matchup you mentioned, the Gamecocks held the Vols to a season low 59 points, and that game landed at just on 122. Four of South Carolina's last five game, home games have been defensive-minded types of games, and they've gone under 139 points. Plus, Tennessee might be a bit tired. This is the third straight game versus the ranked squad. They get Kentucky on Saturday as well, another ranked team. So I'm going to go under 139.5, banking on the Gamecocks defense to come through.
All right, so let's go to golf, because this is just amazing how you can span the globe here. So we'll go to Orlando and the Bay Hill, right? I guess we call it the Arnold Palmer, Stormy, you know? And so I didn't even know you could do this. You can just play the top British or Ireland golfer to be the lowest score in the tournament. That's what you're going to do with Rory?
I can. You can, and I am going to do that. Yeah, I'm going to do Rory,
God bless you,
United Kingdom player or Ireland player, at Bay Hill in the Arnold Palmer Invitational. At Rory, you're getting him at plus 115. You only have to beat five others in the field. That's Fleetwood, Fitzpatrick, Lowry, Justin Rose, and Seamus Power. I think at plus 115, that's great value. Rory's been fantastic lately. And we also know that this tournament has a sentimental feeling for Rory, coming here all the time and playing here. So I think overall, plus 115 against five other guys, and Rory's been killing it lately. I'm going to take McIlroy at plus 115 to be the top.
Makes sense. He is also the second shot on the board in the outright market, plus 850. Scotty Scheffler, your favorite, at plus 650. The Arnold Palmer Invitational getting underway from Bay Hill Golf Course in Orlando tomorrow. And let's close things out with a little UFC 299. Similar, let's go back out to Florida. That event taking place in Miami this weekend.
Yeah.
The main event, Sean O'Malley and Marlon Vera. You're looking at the co-main, Benoit St. Denis and Dustin Poirier.
That's right. I'm going to take St. Denis. I'm going to take him to beat Dustin the Diamond Poirier in either the first, second, or third round. How about that? You get plus 100. You get even money on this one. Denis is 13-1 overall. 12 of his 13 wins have been in the first or second round only. He's only 28. Poirier is 35. Poirier's lost three of his last seven matches, two of his last three fights as well. So Denis at 13-1, winning in the first, second, or third round, you get that at even money. I really like that a lot.
Yeah, if he closes it out earlier, getting even money compared to a minus 205 on the money line for him to win.
Right.
Great stuff, as always, Harry. Really appreciate your insight, and keep
awesome,
it up.
Harry.
I love the action from all
the
over.
Set list.
I love it. Listen, maybe Friday night you can go to Bruce too next thing in 2 weeks. Right?
I feel like there would be something wrong if I went to a Bruce Springsteen concert and did not have Michael Lombardi with me. It would just feel like unnatural, you know? We're going to hit the break. Plenty more as we wrap things up on the Lombardi Line next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This week on DraftKings Sportsbook, new customers can deposit $5 and get a no-sweat bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet loses. Download the app. Use the promo code VSIN when you sign up. VSIN, DraftKings Sportsbook. The crown is yours. I wanted to follow up with you on something quickly, Michael, because you joked when we were on with Harry about spending a little time with Bruce Springsteen's doctor and working your way in, and subtly said, we're not going to be climbing Mount Everest anytime soon together. Is that something he does, really?
You know, Stormy, it was an incredible conference, and there were people from all different fields, a lot of medical people, a lot of people that were giving back to the community. One guy was one of the four people that have climbed the eastern slope of Mount Everest, and he does a cataract surgery in Nepal. for the people that can't see, the video of when he, after he does these surgeries, when they open up their eyes to see is just remarkable. Yeah, they climb Everest and they climb all sorts of mountains, and they have gone to give their medical advice to these third world countries and have been really about giving back to the community. And so it was overwhelming, to be honest with you, to listen to some of these people tell their stories about what they've done and how they've climbed Everest and the last slope, what they call the steep hill, that where they have to go up 55 feet, which is really difficult. And you get up there and then you're at 28,000 feet above sea level. And, you know, the complications that come with that in terms of medical are really, really challenging. So it was fascinating. It was motivating. It was educational too. And everybody came from different parts of life. I mean, we had somebody who was from the music industry, somebody who was from the circus industry, somebody who basically found the largest dinosaur in the history, which was founded here in the great state of New Jersey. So it was really interesting.
What a cool thing to be a part of. And meanwhile, while you are in awe of all of those people and the different thing they've accomplished, they probably think your job is just the coolest thing in the world, that you've gotten to work and have Super Bowl rings like you have in the NFL. So a really cool, eclectic group of people, it sounds like. That's awesome. Also, you could not pay me to climb.
It was fun.
You could not pay me to climb Mount Everest or even try. Like, no.
Stormy, we had this guy, we had a Blue Angel there, right? So he was the last speaker of the 4-day event. And so he puts up his video of this, of flying in the jet. He was on the staff at on Top Gun with Tom Cruise, you know, and Cruise did all the flying from the back, getting it up to 4G, whatever that means, I have no idea. But I'm watching the video and I'm like, there's no chance I'm getting up there with the plane going up and down, you know. And then they had this one guy who jumped off a bridge that I don't think I would cross the bridge in a car. And he's jumping off of it.
No.
Okay.
Nope.
Now he had, you know, it was one of those bungee jumps, right? But still, regardless, I said it to him. I spoke after he did. And when I got up to speak, I said, you know, let's be clear. I wouldn't cross that bridge in a car, let alone jump off of it. You know, it's just the level of thrill that that some people have within their genes is remarkable. I get two bumps on a flight across the country and I'm worried.
Yeah, I was about to say, I don't have it. The bungee jumping, the skydiving, the thrill seeking in general, that is not me. The most thrill seeking you're going to see from me is just when I am reporting on a sideline and have to dodge something coming at me if I'm standing in front of the line of scrimmage. So that's kind of the way that that's the most you're going to get from me. But Michael, we have some work to do here, these final couple minutes here of the Lombardi Line. We got to make sure we give out our pro tip of the show. We do these every single day. You can search it on the website by sport or by show if you're looking for tips from specific people. We had Adam Burke on the program a little bit ago talking about the conference tournaments and the NCAA tournaments and a way you can approach some of these things from a value standpoint. And he mentioned the money line rollover strategy that might be a better option than just betting a team straight out to win the conference tournament or to win the NCAA tournament, because you can gather value along once you know the path in the tournament. And then instead of having to hedge like you would off of one of those futures bets, you can just stop betting, you know? So it requires a little bit more homework and work on the bettor's end. But if you're studying these games to make your bets anyways, you're doing it to begin with. So find a way to get a little bit more bang for your buck.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that's the great thing about our network and about understanding how you can go different ways to maximize your bet, which is critical, right? I mean, you don't want to just take it the easy path. And what Adam was able to show and give, I think, is outstanding, because that might be the way to go. You know, you might be better off to play Kentucky on every single game in the tournament as opposed to play their tournament.
Yep. Again, VSiN.com is where you can find pro tips from each and every show. Let's close things out with a little Gridiron Goldilocks as we continue throughout the week to cruise through the division odds that have been posted by DraftKings Sportsbook this week. Today, we looked at the AFC South earlier. Now time for the NFC South. Tampa Bay has taken home three consecutive division titles following Drew Brees' retirement this year. Bucks a little bit of a surprise to win the division following Tom Brady's departure. Baker Mayfield did a great job. So let's see if these odds are too short, too long, or just right. Starting with, let's start with the Buccaneers while we're talking Baker. Plus 225, they are the second shot in the division. Too short, too long, just right.
You know, I think this should be a cluster once again here in this division, right? How are the Falcons plus 130? I mean, I know you tipped me with Carolina, but I'm staggered. Now, what they're saying with this number is they fully expect them to get a quarterback. Are we reading between the lines here? You know, if they get Kirk Cousins, would that make them 130? Well, we don't even know if Cousins is going to be healthy coming back from the Achilles. That's a jump. And who's playing quarterback for him? That's a jump. Baker Mayfield had won the division in Tampa, but remember, the Saints went in the Tampa in week 16, 17, second to last weekend, and soundly beat the Bucs. You know, soundly beat them. I mean, they won that game, and then the Bucs went up and won the last game of the year to win the division. So, like, I don't see how you can separate it. Do I think that the Saints will be better with Clint Kubiak calling plays as opposed to Pete Carmichael? We'll see. New offense for your man, Derek Carr. Baker Mayfield got better last year, but now Canales is gone. How does that change, right? And then there's a whole new offense in Atlanta. And Atlanta, for all the conversations about Atlanta being this offensive juggernaut, they're slow as hell on offense. They have no speed. They're slow. And so, like, I don't see how anybody could pinpoint accurately and say this team's going to win. When I look at that board, I think the best odds on the board are the Saints, because they've proven if they could just get their act together, they have a really good chance to do something.
Well, and even with Baker and the Bucs, like, while it's assumed that he's going to re-sign there, that's not a done deal just yet. We still have to wait and see. With the Falcons, I think that the mentality behind the Falcons number is, I mean, yes, we see Kirk Cousins is an odds-on number now to go to Atlanta, but they have the assumption that as long as it's not Desmond Ridder, somebody's going to be able to facilitate that offense in a better fashion than he or Taylor Heinicke did, which I do agree with, but I think there's going to be a lot of parity in this division.
Well,
once again,
somebody though, right? Yeah. Like, who's that somebody? Like, I don't know who that could be. I'm with you. I agree that if they would have gotten any kind of quarterbacking play, they would be better, but who's that somebody? Their defensive front's still not good enough. I mean, look, they go into Chicago in the last game. I mean, they couldn't slow Chicago down offensively. Now, I know it was cold and you could say, well, the coach was going to get fired. Look, you know, if you're a good team, you win some of those games. They struggled to win on the road. I don't understand how they're plus 130. I mean, we've got some teams that are plus 190 that are way better. I know that's not, it's related to the division. I get all that. But I think those odds, I think they should all be plus 250. I think the three teams should be plus 250. And if you can get the Saints at plus 300, why not? I know the Saints don't have cap room, but they somehow always manage to have a good defense. And if they get any help out of their offense, they got a chance. I mean, they went in and beat the best team in the South, Tampa, handily in that game. And then Tampa beat Philadelphia.
9-8 on the season, the Saints were, again, plus 300. The price there. How about to close things out, the Carolina Panthers, 10-1. You joked about the Arizona Cardinals and Kyler Murray earlier.
They're lower than the Cardinals. I mean, I think the bookmakers see my view of the Cardinals like that. I mean, how about the Panthers being?
Well,
think about
longer,
the Raiders are 12-1.
They're longer though. Again, like you said before, because of the division that they play in, and the 49ers are an odds-on favorite. But yes, I'm with you conceptually. There's not a lot of faith in Arizona.
I mean, look. There's no faith in Arizona and Carolina. I mean, you know, last year, full disclosure, I thought Carolina was going to be Houston last year. I thought they'd get good quarterbacking play. Their defense was better than people thought they were, and that they would rally. And that was completely wrong. And Frank Wright was the wrong coach for them. I was completely wrong on that. There's no question. At 10-1, I think that's probably a little low. I think it should be 13-1 because they've got a long way to go. Change the culture, change a lot of things within that building. And we're still not sure on Bryce Young. Can he make the plays he needs to make? They don't have any draft picks. You have to spend a lot of money.
A young quarterback with a lot of question marks, third head coach in 3 years, and an owner that likes to put his hand in football business. So a lot to overcome out there in Carolina. That's a wrap for today's edition of the Lombardi Line. Thank you, Michael. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us. And we'll be back here tomorrow, same time, same place. But keep it locked on VSiN all day long. More great betting content on the way with Sharp Money next.